It's not about the weight, but an article from foodrelapse.com. One of my favorite expressions that I hear in LA meetings is, it's not about the weight unless it's about the weight. Then it's all about the weight until it's not about the weight. For some, that statement might seem cryptic, but in essence, it means that we need not to forget why we came into program. Very few people showed up because they knew they had a spiritual void in their life, even though they had. They didn't arrive because they thought their lives were unmanageable and thought the program could give them a design for living, although it could. They came because they wanted to lose weight. I have often said it's not about the weight in the food program, just like it's not about your breath in AA. And of course it's not about your breath in AA, unless you come into a meeting with the smell of whiskey on your breath and proceed to tell everyone that you have 10 years of sobriety. Well, in food programs, the weight is the whiskey on our breath. In Overeaters Anonymous, the statement on abstinence and recovery says, abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery is the result of living the Overeaters Anonymous 12-step program. The while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight was added by OA's World Service Conference a few years back in hopes that it might break the denial of many in OA as to the subject of weight. Almost all of the representatives that attend the OA World Service Conference fall into that weight category, with the majority of them being at a healthy body weight. We're not talking size zero here, mind you, but we're talking a healthy body weight. There was a point in my relapse where my delusional brain, a compulsive eater whose brain has been taken over by the disease, told me that it was more important to be, quote, abstinent, unquote, than to be at a healthy body weight. As a result, my abstinence at the time had a definition that Henry VIII could have followed on his worst day. Yes, I was very overweight and not going down, but I could tell myself I was abstinent. I was also an example of a perverse logic that sometimes permeates the rooms of various food programs. A person who comes in severely overweight and loses half of their weight, but is still maintaining a significantly overweight condition, let's say 50 plus pounds, is actually better thought of than somebody who comes in having to lose 50 pounds and loses it all. That first person can get up and brag about being a 100-pounder, while still being classified by doctors as morbidly obese. Not only that, this person might be taking candles for years of abstinence, quote-unquote, and trumpeting that news to the meeting. What kind of message does that send to a newcomer? Roseanne S., the founder of Overeaters Anonymous, said repeatedly, "I did not start OA to make it a fat and happy club. It is true that we must lose the shame about our bodies and start to love ourselves. To love ourselves truly, however, means that I must stop repeating self-destructive behaviors, like eating the amount of food that maintains an overweight condition. The key to this failing is maintaining an overweight condition, not being overweight. Someone in program might be 100 pounds overweight, but they were 110 pounds overweight last month. This is somebody on the glide path toward a healthy body weight, exactly what OA's definition of abstinence includes." Another flaw in scientific logic that I've seen in sponsees from time to time is not having a food plan that is congruent with the weight towards which they are striving. If your plan is to get to 185 pounds and you're currently 320 pounds, the plan is very simple. To get to 185, you need to eat the amount of food that a 185-pound person needs to maintain that weight. If you do that, you will continue to lose a significant amount of weight until you approach that goal. Then you'll lose less and less until you reach that weight. I have had 320-pound sponsees that have had 185 as a goal, but who are only losing a few pounds a month. I tell them if they're only losing a few pounds a month at 320, they're never going to get to 185 as they're still eating too much for that goal. I don't tell them they can't continue to what they eat what they eat, but if they'll have to realize they're probably going to plateau out at about 300. And then I ask them, is being a 300-pound person what you came to program to become? And I think not. I have the classic compulsive eater's brain, and as such can easily complicate a two-step process. There is so much information, so many layers to this disease and its recovery that it's easy to lose the forest for the trees. We can talk all day about the steps, the big book, our inner selves, our childhood trauma, enlarging our spiritual condition, while at the same time missing one crucial step. Don't overeat! Denial is not something that miraculously vanishes the day we walk through the doors of a food program. Our disease begins immediately to adjust our denial mechanism any way it can to get us to continue to overeat. It will do it with perfectly good program phrases and ideas, or anything else it can find. Its goal, as always, is to get us to continue eating in an unhealthy way. We need to be educated by the program and our fellows as to exactly how this denial works, and to have it pointed out to us when we're in it. In the end, it's not to say we don't love the people in program who are overweight and maintaining that weight. At the same time, we need to speak up as to what the program says about recovery, overeating, and weight in an honest and non-judgmental way. We can and should continue to love them, just to not collude in their denial.